Come on, hallelujah. Father, you hold our hands. Come on, God, you're with us. You never leave us or forsake us. You're with us through thick and thin. Father, I thank you, Father. I thank you for what you're doing. I thank you for what you're doing in all of our lives, God. I thank you for how you reveal to us you, Father. I thank you for how you reveal you to us, God, through your word, through the spoken word, Father, through song, God. I praise you for it. I thank you for how you paint this incredible picture. God, how you hold our hands, how you love us, how you're always there for us, God. How you adore us, God. I thank you for your beautiful word. I thank you for what you're doing, God. And I thank you for your word tonight. God, as we dive into this word that you've given me to share, Lord, I pray I honor you with it, Lord. Lord, I pray that it goes out just how you want it to go as I conclude this series tonight. God, as I finish up this thing, God, I'm being relevant, Lord. Lord, you have called us for this time, for this season, for this hour, God. You've called us with a purpose, Father. We are purpose, God. And I thank you for it, Lord. I pray that it gets into our hearts, God, that we are relevant, that we are connected, that we do have purpose, that you have called us in this season, in this hour. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Come on, I want to welcome all of you in today and everybody that's listening into this later on. I want to welcome everybody. Thank you for joining us. Tonight, I do want to finish up this series. God laid this on my heart about, several months ago, the word relevant. And I began to dive into it, and the Lord just started unpacking and showing me, brought me to Psalms 91, and then brought me into Esther. And that's where we've been camped out in. We've been talking, we've been reading through Psalms, and how if when we choose to dwell, when we choose to say it out of our mouths, God, I trust you. That's when, man, we walk in power, we walk in authority, we walk in peace, we walk in that rest, and we choose him, and we choose to dive into that word and choose to let that word soak in our lives. We find that rest that we so desperately need all the time. When we're dealing with all the hoopla at work, all the hoopla in life, we need that rest. Amen? I'm telling you, Psalms 91 is an amazing chapter. And you know, and I shared this a little bit already, but you know, when we're studying the Word of God, it's important that we just camp out on a chapter. You know, I've heard so many stories about people in prison. And then all they have, in China, I've heard it several times, all they have is they just have a page. And they just read this page over and over and over and over and over again. And this one page keeps them alive. And this one page brings them hope. And this one thing, even the scripture on a wall in a prison cell, that one scripture, that one thing can walk you through. And you know, when we meditate on God's word, I'm telling you, it walks us through those crazy seasons of our lives. Amen. So, Esther, I want to recap through the story of Esther and get us to where I want to land today. We see in chapter 1 of Esther, this King Xerxes, this king of a huge empire. Okay? Big, big dog. And he likes to have parties. It sets up at the very beginning, he has got this grand party set up to have all his nobles and big dogs coming in, and they're going to party for 180 days. I read that, and I had to stop for a second because I started thinking, you know, after about 2 hours, Miss North, at any kind of party, especially a kid's party, I'm done, let alone 180 days of partying, okay? That's what it was. It was 180 days of celebrating. And so in this season, in this time goes by, a few months go into it, and the king, or a few weeks goes into it, whatever part it was, but king calls for his queen to come out because he wants to show his queen off. Now, I can relate because I love to show my queen off. I'm telling you, anytime, I'm like, ooh, girl, spin around. Come on. Woo! I love to show my wife off. Anytime we're in the mall, ooh, okay. Anyway, so I get that. But so the king calls out for Queen Vashti to come out, and well, we know the story. We hear Vashti doesn't want to come out, and so he gets all sorts of bent out of shape. He's embarrassed. He's upset. He's mad. He's furious. So he's like, fine, you're out. So he goes and he says, okay, here's what's going to happen. We're going to find another queen. I don't want her back in here, period. So that's what happens. So then we go into chapter 2. Chapter 2 starts off and we begin to see the first part of Esther. And we see Esther coming into the picture and describing Esther as this beautiful virgin who has been raised by her uncle Mordecai. And we see, and then it describes her past. It says, well, she, her mother and her father died. So she was raised this way. So we are beginning to see so many things happening just at the beginning. We spent time with our very first chapter where God was doing work, was doing this grand setup for Esther. In the chapter 1, we see this incredible setup. Have you ever watched movies where there's like these big setups happening? Well, that's what this was. It was a big setup. God was shifting things around for Esther. Awesome. Opening, getting ready for doors to be open. And that's just like how God is with us. He's always working behind the scenes for us. Shifting and shaping and getting ready for us. As the Word of God says, He goes before us. So He's always doing things. Even sometimes when we don't feel like He is, He's always there. His Word says, never leaves us or forsake us. He's always there with us. So Esther, God is shifting, positioning, behind the scenes, and then we see that Esther, with this loss of her mother and her father, God shifts and positions Esther into something completely different. It's a new era, living under Mordecai, and the teachings, the training, and living under Mordecai. And then we see that happens is she gets, when the king makes his decree, starts looking for a new queen, he wants to basically set up this incredible beauty queen pageant. So he goes and finds all these ladies, and Esther is one of those ladies that were chosen. And immediately when she gets into this position in the kingdom, she begins to find favor. Favor. And then she goes, and it's time now that she gets to where it's almost time to get before the king. She's been spending a year getting ready and preparing for this moment. And then she said, you can have anything in the kingdom to get ready to go before the king. Whatever you want. And she says this one thing. She says, I just want what the king wants. What does the king want? What's the king's flavor? Come on, tell me that. And so she does. She finds out exactly what the king likes, dresses what the king likes, prep for the king. And all of a sudden, immediately starts finding even more favor. Where it says, chapter 2, finds more favor. And then we find, when the moment she gets before the king, she finds an incredible favor. And the king's like blown away, puts the crown on her head. That's it. Contest over. I choose you. All right. Esther now is Queen Esther. Beautiful, beautiful moment. We see how God shifted. We see how God positioned. How God moved and shaped for her to be placed in this moment. And see, we see ourselves the same way. God has shifted in our past, and God has placed us and moved us for time, just right where we're in right now. And we come to church, we talked about this last week, we come to church and we ask the question, what is God like? Because that's what we ask, what the king like? What is God like? That's why we come to hear the Word of God, to hear it being preached. And that's what Dad, myself, and whoever's up here, Ms. North, whoever's up here sharing the Word, we share that. This is what the king likes. And that's what we're doing. We come in here to find out what the king likes. Amen. And in the seasons and times that we're moving forward, God's pouring favor and blessing and doing things, just like He did with Esther. Amen. I love favor. I love little blessings. I do, man. God, every little, all these little small texts in the mail. I love it. Thank you, Lord. A little of this, a little of that. Lord, I thank you for favor. I thank you. And then we see, and then we begin to, it shifts. We see, so Esther is queen. Esther has been placed in this incredible position. She is royalty now. And chapter 3 goes into the plot all of a sudden as it gets thick. Haman comes on the picture, actually comes in at the end of 2, starts into chapter 3. Haman comes in and says, okay, he's not happy with Mordecai because Mordecai is hanging out by the gate because he's trying to find out what's going on with Esther this whole time while she's becoming queen. All right, he's hanging out by the gates out there in the kingdom, trying to figure out what's going on with her with Esther, trying to get some information. But then every time Haman's coming around, Mordecai doesn't respect him, doesn't bow down. Mordecai is a Jew. If he doesn't believe, he's not going to bow down to that. He only bows down to God, worships the Lord. And this infuriates Haman. So Haman goes before the king and says, listen. And begins this plot. He says, I will pay you. This is what we're going to do. I want to eradicate all these Jews. Everybody that doesn't honor you, basically. Anybody that doesn't bow down to you, we want to destroy them. I want to get rid of them. They don't even be here. I will pay you. Let me do this. Because Haman is so evil, angry. So Haman goes to the king, and the king says, you know what? You don't have to pay me. It's cool. That's just, that's fine. If they're not for me, then I'm good. Just kill them. Get rid of them all. Okay. That's what happens. Now, then we go into chapter 4. And this is where I am landing today. I love this chapter. Because here's what happens. Mordecai gets wind of this story of what's happening. And Mordecai tears his clothes, puts some sackcloth on, and starts mourning because he's all of a sudden now everything is done. All the Jews, everybody's going to be dead now because they're going to come after all of them. So Mordecai's mourning. Esther sends somebody out to find out, to check on Mordecai, and they see Mordecai with all these sackcloths on, and they send word back to Esther, and Esther's like, what's going on? Bring him some clothes. Find out what's happening. So they try to bring him some clothes, and Mordecai didn't accept it. And Mordecai then explains to what's happening, what's going on. And then this conversation ensues back and forth between Mordecai and Esther. Esther and Mordecai basically tells him, hey, listen, you need to go before the king and petition him to have mercy on us, plead our case. And Esther comes back and says, but Mordecai, but here's the deal. I mean, I see what you're saying. I get what you're saying. I get it. Okay, if I don't, I get there's a plot against the Jews. But here's the thing. If I go before the king and he doesn't hand out, put out his scepter, I could die. I will die. They will execute me because that's the law. If he doesn't hand that out, puts that out, I will die. I'm going to get executed. If I do this, this is what's going to happen. I don't know about that. And I love what Mordecai responds. And I want us to look at that as a Christian. I want us to hear these words. I want us to hear his response. Pastor preached on this a couple of Sundays ago. If you actually were sitting in the Word and really taking that home with you, you'd remember that. He preached on this on Esther chapter 4. I want us to pick up on chapter 4, and I want us to pick up just on 12. I want to just, let's do that. Pick up on verse 12. Chapter 4, verse 12. When Esther's words were reported to Mordecai, he sent back this answer. Do not think because you are in the king's house, you alone of all the Jews will escape. So she's got now fear in her hand of her dying because of the fact that if she's rejected by the king, he doesn't want to have time for her. She also says that she goes, I haven't been there in a month. I haven't been there in quite a while before the king. So I don't know how he's going to react. So not only is that now, but Mordecai comes back and says, listen, don't think you're going to escape this. You're a Jew too. You're a part of it. I and here's what Mordecai says, chapter, verse 14. And this is, man, I want to encourage you. Go and read this verse over and over and over and over again. And let it resonate. Let it speak to you. I promise you, man, this is an amazing verse. If you ask me, this is probably one of the most pivotal verses in this book. Because it all hinges on what Esther does next. Esther, this is what Mordecai responds to. It says, "For if you remain silent at this time, if you remain on the sidelines at this time, if you remain in your pew at this time, if you remain silent, if you remain quiet at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place. But you and your father's family will perish. And who knows but that you have come to your royal position." I love that. "You have come to your royal position for such a time as this, for this pivotal moment that is in front of you, this moment in time that you're faced with. She holds fear in her in one hand, and she sees the fear, and we see the response of fear that is taking place there. She's got the fear of dying, and she's also got the fear of, well, everybody else dying, and then her still dying. There's a lot of fear. That's some big fear. And then she has on her other hand love. Love for her family. Love for the Jews. Love. And she looks as she's looking at both of these factors in this moment. And Mordecai is saying, listen, if you remain silent, if you are listening to that fear, if you're diving into that fear, if you're focused on that fear, here is what is going to happen. You're going to miss it. You're going to miss the opportunity. You're going to miss it. You're going to miss it. If not now, when? That whole verse is saying, if not now, when? If not now, when? I look at that, and I see that, and I look at the church, and I look at all of us, and I see how God has shifted, how He has positioned each and every one of you. I've heard your stories, I've heard lots of your testimonies, I've seen how God has shifted and shaped and moved and positioned. I've seen God pour His favor out on you. I've seen you move. I've seen you do amazing things in the church. I've seen it. God do incredible things in your life. He's poured favor on your life. He's done incredible things. And each one of us, we come in this room just like yesterday asking, what is the King like? Because you're here tonight doing that. You're asking, what does the King like? You're here listening to a preached word. We're doing that. We're walking that out. What is the King like? And we do so many, and things I preached on again last week, I landed on is for us to sit in that word that's being preached, to not let it fall to the wayside, but dive into it. Actually grab a hold of it. Just like yesterday, she stepped into it. She found out what the King liked, and she stepped into it. But then now, she's been positioned, and she's found favor. That's what the King likes. Okay, now what? Now what? See, this whole heartbeat of this message is how God has positioned and placed you for such a time as this right now, right here, 2021, June 16th, right? 16th. Okay. 7:28. Purpose. He's placed me. I've walked through all all kinds of hell in my life. For such a time as this to be able to speak this word out. Thing is we all have this. We all walk through this. We have fear in our hands. And we see the love also. We see the rejection, the possibility of rejecting, of stepping out into what God's called us to do. We're feeling this pull, we're feeling this tug at our hearts to step out, right? We're feeling the pull, we're actually starting to sense opportunities, even we're at the grocery store. We're at our workplace, and we're seeing opportunities in having things tugging on our hearts to share the word, share our testimony. Some of you even being tugged on about being up on the pulpit and preaching from the pulpit. Some of you being tugged on to actually try to step out and sing, trying to do something. You use your gifts that God has put in you. And He's positioned us for right now to be active, to step out, to go before the throne and just do what He's called us to do. To do right now. But if you remain silent, you're going to miss opportunity. I know if you've been in church for a season, if you've been in ministry for a season, you understand what missed opportunity feels like. It hurts. It's awful. I tell you that, and I've shared this before. Talk about a missed opportunity. Had a young man I've ran into. I've shared this testimony before, but something I'm sharing with you is important. Ran into a young man that I worked with one summer at a gas station about a year after I stopped working there. And I ran into him and recognized him. He recognized me. He came over and started talking to me. Talking to me, how's it going, man? And the Holy Spirit was on me so hard. The whole time he's talking, screaming, tell him! Tell him what I did for him! And the whole time, I'm just talking. The whole time, man, it's on my heart. Tell him! 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 And the whole time, all I'm doing is I'm shaking in my boots because all I'm looking at is this doggone fear. I'm afraid of what he's going to say to me. I'm afraid of how he's going to react. I'm afraid of this, I'm afraid of that, I'm afraid of this, I'm afraid of this awkward conversation, man. I'm afraid. And he leaves, and the whole time the Holy Spirit is tugging on my heart like nobody's business. Please go talk. I'm seeing him drive off. I mean, the Holy Spirit says, you need to follow him. I didn't do anything. I just said that. Found out about a week later. And again, I have not heard anything about this kid. I haven't seen this kid. I haven't heard nothing. But you know what I did here? About a week later, that he was running from the cops on his motorcycle, arrested and died. Oh, I can praise God. I hope he prays for somebody else that I've actually been beaten. I don't want that to happen. It's not now when. See, now here's what I want to teach on. Here's what I want to learn. Esther had a choice to hold and look at fear or look at love. Look at fear or look at love. Look at fear for her life or look at love. And now here we juggle with this. Here's our juggle. We look at fear of rejection, fear of feeling inadequate, fear of looking stupid, fear of being told no. It's a lot easier, softer than death. That's what we fear. And that's what stops us from actually doing what God's called us to do and being active in the ministry and actually doing what God's commanded us to do. You know what the Word of God says? If you loved me, you'd obey my commands. If you loved me. That, when I heard to church, and I pay my tithe, and I play the drums, I sweat, I do this, I will go cut grass, I will do whatever it takes to go to church. But one area that I have lacked in is actually sharing the gospel, talking to people, and praying for people, and really actively speaking that out to people, completely strangers. And the Lord brought me that to my attention. He says, if you love me, then open my hands. I love you. I told you to go out and be the light of this world. I told you to love your neighbor as yourself. That's the most incredible commandment right there. Love your neighbor as yourself. Okay. Go tell them about Jesus. Focus, then we start trying to figure out, okay, I want to overpower this fear. I want to get through this fear. And we put our attention on this fear. Okay, I'm going to try to muster up and push this fear aside. I'm going to try to not fear. I'm not going to fear. I'm going to be good. I'm going to be bold. I'm not going to fear. And the whole time you're focused on the fear. I'm not going to fear. I'm going to try to stand up. I'm going to come up and tell the person that Jesus loves them, and then I'm going to walk away. I'm going to focus on, but I'm not going to fear. 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 Okay. Here's the thing. When we are focused on the fear, we're going to fear. We are going to struggle. We are going to have a hard time stepping out and reaching out and being obedient to what God's called us to do. And if we're focused on fear, we're focused on failure, focused on rejection, focused on all this stuff, I promise you, you will not stand up on this platform hardly and do anything. You're not going to try to talk to somebody about the Lord because you're so focused on the fear, so focused on the rejection. But here's the deal. If we focus our attention on the love. On the love for people. On the love for the Lord. What does the Word of God say? Perfect love casts out all fear. Perfect love casts out all fear. See, what happens is when we're focusing on so much on this love, our attention is on the love. Love relationship with the Father. Love relationship with people. Love. That love for that lost, the love for the hurting, the love for the Lord and wanting to share that love with others, I promise you will start overpowering that fear in that heart. And the more we do it, the more we step out and let that love lead us, the more we're going to see amazing things happen. The more we're going to see breakthrough in people's lives. Okay, I'm minded here. I'm focused on trying to help him get this situated. I'm not really interested in chatting with anybody. Let's get this thing out of the way so we can all move on to the next step. Let's go. They're just chit-chatting away. I'm all like, okay, let's get strapped. Let's get this thing going. And Junior finally stops chatting. And we start going to work on the car, and we move the car. I'm still in this focal moment of, okay, now we got the cargo. We're get, we're good. Let's get things situated. Let's go have some food. Go hang out for a little bit and we'll be good. Junior and Rachel, on the other hand, are enjoying chatting with this fella. And I'm just, I'm oblivious to everything. Okay? And what was awesome is that older couple, that man that was, he invested time with and was sharing, talking about church and the love of God. That young man, that older gentleman and his wife have been coming to church and sitting right over there for the last 30 minutes. And diving in. Because they stopped and they were like, this is important. It's incredible. And God was tugging at their hearts at that moment to show the love of God to them. I'm like, I'm going to show the love of God to you, Junior, by helping you. If not now, when? If not now, when? See, the thing is, God has positioned us and placed us in all kinds of situations to show the love of God to you. Everywhere we turn, everywhere we go, every chance we have, God is putting people in front of us every single day that just needs, hey, Jesus bless you. God bless you. I hope you have a blessed day. Little thing. Doesn't have to be huge getting there and praying somebody through right then and there. Plant seeds. Focus on the love. You see, that's what Esther did. And she went back and forth in the verses. She went back and forth on the verses before. Oh, she was definitely saying, but Mordecai, here you want me to go before the king, but I could die. But, and it's funny because that's exactly what we do. But God, I could be, they could reject me. Okay. They could say no. Okay. But that fear, it's crazy how that fear will be up here just because of that. Fear of rejection, fear of inadequacy, fear of not really sure what to say. Fear of being to get up there and stumbling around. Okay? And Esther says, look, here's what's going on, and here's the situation. And Esther, was, even, and Mordecai says, look, it's actually worse than that. Because if you don't, we all could die. We could all miss it. And Mordecai said, listen, for this, if you remain silent, it could be missed opportunity. We'll be done, and God's going to send somebody else. I don't want God to send anybody else for what he's called me to do on this earth. I don't want to be called. I don't want God to have to find somebody else to speak to somebody, to speak to that kid at the gas station. I don't want God to send anybody else because I was so wrapped up in fear that I missed the opportunity of showing the love of God. We've got to take note of what Esther did. She let that love of her family and that love be her driving force to get to her. I'm sure she was nervous and scared as all get out. But she did it. Favor. What happened? She threw some different times, some dinner times, had a perfect opportunity and said, hey, listen, here's what's happening. Hey, you're doing this. King was like, yeah, it ain't gonna work. Threw Haman out, killed him, took the whole equation out. And through Esther, God saved you. You have no idea the impact that you can make on people and the ripple effect that you can make by just being obedient it because there's a mechanic that you want me to talk to. Maybe it's something, there's an issue at the grocery store, at the cashier line. Maybe that lady's needing to hear something. Waiter or waitress at the restaurant. Whatever the situation may be, at work. If not now, we come to church. Now let's do the next step. Let's step out even more than we have been. Say yes to and being obedient to what God's called us to. To share in the love of God. Let's focus on that love. Because I promise you, the more we focus on God's love, the more we focus on His Word and hear Him, I promise you, the more that tug on your spirit to talk to Him. I'm telling you, Brother Tony was on point when he came down and shared that message. His whole message was about praying for other people, praying for the heart for other people. And I promise you, when you do that, and you pray for that love in your heart for other people, I promise you, when you're at everywhere you go, you will start seeing pain in people's hearts. You'll see it. You'll sense it. You'll see them trying to put on a facade. But the Holy Spirit tugging at your heart, hey, this guy, this person's this person's stones. Now, focus is on the love and being obedient to God's word. That love and that love and that love and really sharing what God has done for us. I'm telling you, we can't help it. Share that love. We can't help but step into what God's called us to. Stop living in fear. Stop living in fear. Because I promise you, if we stop living on this, focusing on this fear, and start focusing on this love, it will cast out all this fear, just like the Word does. And the more we do it, the more we step out, the bolder we get, the more love we have. So I just want to leave you with that as a finalizer thing. God has called you for this season. No matter how old you are, no matter how young you are, whatever your experience is in your life, God has shifted and shaped and positioned you for such a time as this. For tonight, in your family, for work tomorrow, for in the traffic, place you, position you, purposely. You are purpose. Don't let the enemy tell you otherwise. You are relevant. Amen. Father, I thank you for this word, God. I thank you for the word relevant, God. You have put us and placed us and positioned us for such a time as this, God. And Lord, I pray our church body steps in every bit of it that you have for us, God. Every opportunity to share who you are. Every opportunity to love on folks, to shine the light, to be who you called us to be, to step up on the platform, to preach your word, to share your word, to pray for people, to give that word, God, to share testimonies, Father. And not in here, but not just in here, but outside, at the cash register store, at the cash register, at the restaurants, at the gas stations, Father. Wherever we go, Lord, Lord, let your light just shine and permeate in our hearts, God, so it goes out, Father. Lord, I pray our focus is on love and a relationship. Love, love, love relationship with you, God. Because I want to obey everything you call me to do. And not just come in here and play church, God, but I want to be the church out there. Hallelujah. So, I'm telling you, again, I sort of encourage you, focus on that love, because I promise you, when you're focusing on that love, man, I'm telling you, God's going to open up, and you're going to see opportunities, the drive-thrus, for wherever you go, man.